Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue our broadcast of dance music. We shall continue now with our piano interlude.
Hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers.
We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
Oh yeah, dude. There's some Nephilim shit. It's like we all know what's going down, but no one's saying shit. What happened to the home of the brave? These motherfuckers, they controlling us now, and no one's talking about how they made us try to be slaves. And everybody's just walking around, heading to crowds that won't awaken to a dead in the grave. By then it's too late, we need to be ready to raise up. Welcome to the end of day. Everybody is slaves, only some are aware.
Welcome back to Nephilim Death Squad. I am David Lee Corbo, a.k.a. The Raven. That's Top Lobster. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to remind everybody that this episode is going to air in its totality 1 week from now. So what you're getting right now is a 10-minute live preview, and then at 10-minute, we're cutting the stream, and this is going to our members only. If you want to continue watching this episode...
David, I don't like the way you're presenting that. Like, with the shirt, the color shirt that you're wearing, and how...
It's
like
aggressive.
It feels like you're dealing crack to our audience. Don't appreciate the... Oh, no.
Hold on. I need you to pay us, all right? If you want to see the rest of this episode, I need you to pay us. You're going to go to NephilimDeathSquad.com and gain early access to the rest of this episode, or you can go to Patreon.com/NephilimDeathSquad. Today, we are joined by JT, who is quickly kind of becoming one of my favorite content creators. I'm finding your clips everywhere. You do sort of a masterful job at them. Can
you
describe to the audience what it is that you do in regards to what you focus on and where they can find your work?
Yeah, sure. I'm just a normal bro, I guess. So that's I'd like to put it out there right now that I started to notice all the things that probably everyone else noticed 2020, 2021. Really started to waken up to all the lies. And first and foremost, I'm a Christian guy. So I think once I really started to establish what's true, I really started to see what's false about all the things where, you know, all the things were lied about. And so at one point I was starting to share little things like on social media. I was saying, we were talking about Twitter a little bit, and then I was doing Facebook, but it was mostly interacting with friends and family. At some point, my brother got me on TikTok. I knew that was a more visual thing. So I was like, I'll have to make some kind of a TikTok. I did some kind of little goofy skit. I didn't even know how to make a TikTok. Kind of went viral, made a couple other ones that went viral. And before you know it, I'm like, I'm making videos. Then I'm doing a podcast, and then I did a movie about Nephilim and ancient angels with a buddy last year. And so things are just, you know, basically just sharing clips about the truth and about exposing lies and darkness in the culture.
I love it, man. Let me ask you a question. I put a pin in that. You were like going to church 2021, and that's when you woke up. How did your church behave around COVID? Were they an F, or because mine was like a C-? And that's kind of, I started to not go to church after that, which is not very good. But
well, you know, I think I'm kind of in that same boat where, you know, in 2021, people are having debates online about all the stuff, and the church is really very silent about it, at least the one I went to. And that's what I kind of noticed overall about like the brick and mortar churches. And that's why eventually I was just like, I can't really go to this anymore. It's just like, I'm not really learning anything from the pastor. And also, I mean, I think church is supposed to be a little more interactive than it is in America, where we go sit in a chair and listen to one guy and don't say anything.
Yeah, but like, it should be a podcast. I like, you know, whenever I go to a I can watch a guy podcast for 3 hours. If I go to see somebody preach, sometimes it's often boring because like, there's no dialogue, but there should be dialogue. This is the ultimate, you're reading the Bible. This is a dialogue between God and
yeah, they should have a live chat. They should have a live chat.
A live chat, like this sucks. Like bring a live chat.
Boring. No, I've heard this one before. No, but I think that that's kind of the problem is that I think some of us and I, you know, I've done, I think it should be, I think church should be more like Bible studies because, you know, you can have praise and worship. But I mean, I think it's kind of like, hey, what are you getting out of this? And like, what do you think about, and like somebody has questions. It's like, that's what it should be more like. I think that's why like a smaller churches probably makes sense. But I think that overall, like when I would talk about, you know, faith and the world we live in, you got, obviously we're supposedly believers in this place. So like, you don't need to remind me about the gospel all the time. I know that like, that's why I'm here. But what I'm trying to learn is like, is taking the prism of what God says and what's true. And then what do you see outside this place? And I think that when you have, you know, again, the same arguments that are on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and, you know, on TV and whatever and YouTube, that's what the church should be talking about to some extent, right? I mean, like that, why should, if I'm going to you guys to talk about Nephilim and this weird stuff that's happening with the eclipse or whatever else is going on, and the church says nothing about that. It's like, but that's what people are talking about. And I think that the church should kind of have answers for those things. And I don't think they do. And like I said, so when you go back to like really big faith issues, when you talk about 2021, they don't say anything. It's like, so what do I even need you guys for? Like I'm not saying you need to tell us what to do, but you should probably give people a way to basically work out their own faith and like, what should you do based on what God says?
Can I ask you this then? So, okay, you made a really potent point there that you're having conversations with guys like us. There's a lot of awesome content creators in this space who are talking about these things, right? It's kind of like conspiracy and the supernatural through a biblical worldview. But the reason that we are even filling that need is because of the ways in which the church is dropping the ball. Do you think that, because I kind of feel like fear is at the root of that? Is it fear of leading the congregation in the wrong direction, or maybe even sort of a making the congregation extremists, maybe?
It might be simpler. If they're a brick and mortar, you know, they want to protect that no tax clause. Mm-hmm. So it could be a little bit, especially during COVID. If you had someone that was like, I was in New York City. I'm not closing my church. We're not closing it. They would just take your license away probably, or definitely shut you down. So a lot of churches were like, I don't know if I really want that kind of issue with the government, you know? Because they were serious about it. And
which is crazy. It's like, if there was ever a time to not fold, it's then, right? When things are easy, it's easy to stand up and to be sort of this wishy-washy church that's just like teaching you how to be and follow Jesus's lead. But when times are hard and you actually are under the threat of being shut down for spreading the gospel, isn't that the time to stand up?
Do you remember those days? Like, I remember...
It's almost like I blocked him out.
Yeah, it's not just that the government said to the church, like, yo, either what were they, like quarter capacity, you can't have it on this day or whatever. You know, they were setting crazy rules. They all kind of like just agreed with it. Like that was, and it was fake.
Yeah, everybody laid down. But I think that's, well, I mean, I think you're both correct where it's like, so obviously you have these 501c3s where they're, you know, they're tax exempt and they are businesses. And so like, if again, I don't know what happened behind the closed doors in different places, but you could imagine it's kind of like, if you try to fight this, I mean, like maybe there'll be repercussions one day. But I think at the same time, I do believe that maybe some of us who got more conspiratorial fast after all the things we know we were lied to about. I mean, like over all the years, it's like, so I was 21 when 9/11 happened, or right around 20, like in my early 20s when 9/11 happened, and I'm in a military town. And so I didn't really wake up to all the stuff until kind of recently. But I think to me, it's like the COVID stuff, the election stuff kind of blew the doors off. Are they telling us the truth? So then at that point I started to believe, you know, lots of the conspiracy because I actually started to look into them. So I think that when you start talking about Nephilim, for one, that was one of those first things I read in the Bible, like after I kind of had fresh eyes to read it. And I was like, how in the world did I never know about this? This is like right at the very beginning of the Bible.
It angers me. It makes me want to, like, it makes me mad at the church. It's like, this is fascinating. I understand the rest of this book a lot more now that I understand that part.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that for me, though, it's like when you've been taught a bunch of lies about like what the Bible says, I think it's because there is this kind of mainstream, like, try to appeal to everyone and not look crazy. You don't talk about the fact that angels had sex with women and created giants, because that sounds crazy to the normies, because it is crazy. I mean, that's a crazy concept that we didn't know about that, but it's definitely what the Bible says. And so I think that when you start to not worry about getting called crazy anymore, then we can say these things plainly. And I think that, like, so if I started this without making a cent, obviously, like most of us did, we started posting on social media. So I don't really care. It's like, you believe me or you don't. I'm not doing this for, you know, I still go to my day job. So if you say you don't like me anymore, well, fine. I'm not too worried about it. But if you're in a brick and mortar church and then you got the government breathing down your back, and then you also say, well, if I say that when I start talking about this stuff that challenges them, what they actually believe, you know, the congregation believes, they don't want to be challenged. Mm. They want to be felt. They want a motivational speech. You know, that's what they want. They want them to say, hey, you're doing a great job and you're going to heaven one day. Isn't this great? Jesus is awesome. And then you go and leave. They'll throw the money in the plate and it'll be over. Meanwhile, like, you have people on us who are like saying, wait a minute, they lied about this. Now I'm going to talk about this one lie, and everyone's going to be uncomfortable when I bring it up now. And then I'm going to talk about this thing they love that's full, completely evil. You know, and it's like, but I have no trouble saying that, because what's true is true. And it's like, if you don't like me because of it, well, it's not me that you're upset with. It's the fact that I told you something's true that you find uncomfortable.
Earlier, I said that the maybe part of the fear is to sort of radicalize or make extremists out of Christians. And it's like, really, you're doing it a disservice, because you're softening the messaging to a point where, you know, it becomes almost easy to ignore, when in reality, the Bible shows you that the world that you inhabit and the life that we live is sort of extreme. You know, it's really extreme. And so not only are you doing a disservice by softening this message, but also for the people who come to that conclusion on their own, meaning something happens to them in their life, they see things in a different way because of an event or something like that, or maybe a supernatural event, and they come to the conclusion that, like, whoa, this realm that we inhabit is supernatural, but they don't have anywhere to turn to where they could turn to the church and they could look for some clarification as to what's going on, why am I experiencing these things. There's nothing really there for them to grab onto, so those people are falling through the cracks.
No, I 100% agree, because I think that it's interesting. Like when all the pandemic first started, it was like essential versus non-essential. And it's like the church, like, basically deemed themselves non-essential. So then obviously other people are either going to seek God, you know, in your own room, in your own house, and which you should have been doing all along, you know, regardless of whether you go to a brick and mortar church, or you probably said, oh, I'm going to go listen to somebody else preach. I want to still hear about God, but I'm going to hear it from somebody else. And so then obviously once they start opening their doors back up, it's like, if I didn't need you then why do you think I need you now? And of course we know that we need him less. And I think that maybe that is, you know, like, that's how God can use all these things together for our good. It's like, well, how could that be used for good? Well, now he said, you know, God didn't want us to have a mediator like that. Like, you're like a guy who's wearing a nice suit sitting above, you know, standing above us, speaking down to us. It's like, oh, if you want to know what I said, just go read the Bible.
JT, you know? Are you saying you think that, because since 2020, for sure, after 2020, I looked around and what I remember thinking in my head was, this is a dead church. And I've been mm-hmm. to dead church. You know, when it's dead or when it's mm-hmm. dying. I remember thinking that. And then now years later, I'm at this issue in my life where it's like, they're like, well, do you go to church? And I'm like, no. And like, but you're a Christian. And I was like, probably more than, I probably believe harder than you do. Like, you got no idea.
Right.
I can't make mm-hmm. that match. Is the church being phased out with something else? Or should it be phased out? Because the current church as it is right now, I mean, there are good ones. There's good ones, but
yeah, for sure.
Like, missed the mark. And I'm just like, what do you do?
Or was it ever supposed to be this idea? Because a lot of people, I'm not as biblically knowledgeable as a lot of other people in this space, but I hear a lot of people say that it was never meant to be this building that you go to, JT, like you just alluded to, right? This guy in a suit that is sort of the middleman between you and God. But in the Bible, it says, wherever two or more shall gather in my name. And it's like, did it ever have to be that? Was that something that was not unnecessary? Maybe there was a time in history where the survival of the church depended upon these like cathedrals being built and these, you know, these giant worship centers and everything. But now, speaking of giant worship centers, you have like the Walmarts of Christianity popping up left and right. I've been to one. I kind of
Here's
found
a crazy
it.
Idea. Follow me here, David, because now I have these. All right. You build a Walmart church. Now, here's the deal. Like you were saying, a lot of the congregation won't address the supernatural or like this conspiracy crazy stuff. It's crazy. It's crazy. But then they go to a church and they're like, we're going to usher in the Holy Spirit right now. Come down on it. You're creating. If you look at it, you're doing some kind of a ceremony to bring an entity down. And the other side does this too. We look at them. We're like, that's crazy. Look at those guys. They have a circle on the floor and all this. I was like, we're kind of doing the same thing too. Should we be doing it to the level of like Walmart's, like, or should it have been like smaller groups? Like, what happens when you create a portal that big?
Well, I think what it really is that no. To answer your question, no, I don't believe that the church was ever supposed to be a place you go gather. The church is the believers. The church is the people. You know, so it's kind of like that. If we're the temple of the Holy Spirit now, so like God doesn't dwell in, you know, buildings built by men. So he's in us. And so we're supposed to come together and we're supposed to encourage each other. And I think that what it says, I think, is in Hebrews 10:25, when it talks about don't forsake the gathering together. So like a lot of things what people would say, biblical churches would probably say that's the fellowship is on Sunday. So you could meet together whenever you want to. And of course, like I said, you could gather together with believers even online, I believe. I don't think you have to physically go someplace. I just think it's like, you know, if we're here for one thing, is to love each other and encourage each other and help each other. You know, so at some point you can't, like, you shouldn't just be shut away, right? I think because it's hard to do good for people if you're not interacting with the people. But no, I think that, yeah, the church is supposed to be like an interactive thing. And I think it's supposed to be, yeah, it's like the church is supposed to go out. You know, it's like that's what they think, everything's supposed to come in. But I do think like the difference is now that, like you were saying, is you believe a lot more, you probably have a lot more faith in the people in the pews. Because again, it's funny, yeah, depending on what church you go to, you know, it could be super charismatic or it could be super uptight, these like,
right,
you know, Baptist churches. And, but again, it's always about like what the main guy believes. And it's like, what's crazy to him is crazy to them. And what's not is not. So that, I think that's what I've really come to understand, that there's a lot of crazy things in the Bible that all Christians need to believe in order to say they're a Christian. Like you need to say that the God created everything. You got to believe that God sent his son in the form of a man to a virgin to die for us and then to rise again and then comes back and establishes a kingdom and destroys this world again. You know, like all the kind of things. But then when you say, what about Nephilim? And they'd be like, well, angels having sex with women. I was like, how could a spirit get a woman pregnant? And you're like, well, you already believe in the Holy Spirit getting Mary pregnant, don't you? So,
you know, it's
so like, so you kind of already, so you already kind of said you believe that. But again, like when you say you believe in giants, the academic types will laugh at you. They'll say you're stupid, but the people, like, I guess the people wearing the nice suits who, you know, drive a Mercedes to their church buildings, they don't want to be laughed at by the academics, most of them. You know, they would still like to say that, well, I believe most of the same things as you do, but I believe that God created this and it wasn't a big bang. And then so it's acceptable in normal society to say that. But when you start questioning whether, you know, we went to the moon or we're going thousands of miles around a ball of fire and, you know, like all those kind of things. If you start questioning that because the Bible says this, then you're like, oh, this guy is insane. This guy's wearing a tinfoil hat. He's this, he's that. And again, like for us, it's kind of like, I think it's crazy what you guys believe. Now, I think it's crazy that certain people have not woke up to the lies and they try to deny what's very obvious. It's even like my buddy was like, I was talking to a friend today and he was like, well, why would Elon Musk lie about the Starlink stuff? And I was like, I'm like, why wouldn't he lie? I said, look,
he's putting a brain in your chip right now. What are you talking about?
I sent him the picture of him wearing the Devil's Champion Halloween costume and then him wearing like the Norvus Ordo Seclorum jacket. I'm like, he's the world's richest man. I said, if there's one thing I know about this world is you don't become the world's richest man by being nice, telling the truth, not stomping on people's necks. I mean, like, this guy's obviously playing ball with the wrong team.
This idea too, that he's like this benign dude who's just a good guy, dude. As he gathers up all of the world's like information through the most influential social media apparatus that exists right now.
He's still afraid of, he still has overlords.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've had one interaction with him and it's probably the greatest interaction with him.
Oh, wow.
Period. I put up an anti-Semitic meme. He answered me back joking. It was a picture of Mel Gibson ripped and then a picture of Joe Biden sleeping. Like, and I said, adrenochrome or hate the Jays, which way Western men? Completely viral. He says, wow, Mel Gibson's that buff these days? Just, I don't know what that means. Like, here's the thing. Psychologically, you're Elon Musk. Anything you interact with, you know, will blow up. Why would you interact with this meme specifically? It's completely awful. It's lowbrow. It's from the gutter, just like me. He interacted on purpose. There ended up being report after report after report calling him anti-Semitic.
Yeah, articles written.
Yeah, about me. Top Lobster says something about blood libel and shit like this. Then he deletes it. He deletes his comment because he got the...
On his platform.
On his platform that he paid billions of dollars for. He didn't say anything crazy. He says, wow, Mel Gibson's that jacked these days? Hilarious.
Well, probably because they know, just like what you said. I mean, anything he comments on is he's elevated. You know, it's kind of like he could have just...
Did he do that on purpose?
Obviously he did. I mean, again, like he's not as smart as everyone says he is, but he's obviously not stupid either. So like he knows the power he's got. I mean, that's so funny. Like these billionaires, when they would say, I think I might get some of that Bitcoin. You know, like how much they can move the needle by just even suggesting that they might do something.
Yeah.
So anything that he's saying, that's why I can't remember what he was talking about one day. It was something regarding flat earth, but obviously he wasn't committing to that. But I think it was like, just the fact that he kind of gave this overture to that, and it was like, oh, see, you know, like that's, I'm sure he's not unaware of the power, especially now that he owns X or Twitter, what do you want to call it?
Yeah, he's putting his finger on the scale. But listen, guys, I think this is a good spot to take this break because we've given these people too much free shit already. So
let everybody know, Top, where they're going to find these links because they're in the Patreon posts, right?
I think so. Yeah, they're in the pan. Maybe you got to join at a $5 level or something, and then you can get live now, or you can wait a week. But either way, we'll see you later. We're going to play an ad and then end this on YouTube.
Today's episode is brought to you by PurgeSuddenly.com. What if I told you that more people have died from parasites than have ever died from war? What if I told you that cancer, multiple sclerosis, acne, rosacea, and rheumatoid arthritis can all be treated with parasite medication? Rid your body of these all too common parasites. Purge Parasite Cleanse is made with ingredients like zinc, carrot powder, garlic, black walnut. We're talking all natural ingredients that are good for you. Or try their Digestimes to promote healthy gut bacteria and aid in digestion. These, as well as any other products on PurgeSuddenly.com, can be purchased with promo code Nephilim. NEPHILIM at PurgeSuddenly.com.
Boom. All right, okay. We're back. Now everybody's going to be mad at us. People always get mad at us when we do this, but I don't really care about it. Top, did you have anywhere you wanted to go? Because I have a little bit of somewhere I wanted to go, but I don't know if you have something that's better. Did you have something loaded?
No, go ahead. You take it.
All right. Look, I know we don't know anything about it, but it's just an interesting thing that happened, a little bit of a connection in my mind. So, and I know that JT has been talking quite a bit, as we all have within this space, about the eclipse that just happened, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people that thought that it was going to be some sort of doomsday event, whereas I thought more of signs of the times, you know, and that this was going to be maybe an event that preceded several other events. So there's really no way to know what's coming next. But during the eclipse, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that, but there was this emergence of something that radar picked up in the oceans off of the west coast of Africa, seemingly coming from Antarctica. Something under the water, the size of, they said it was bigger than Texas. If you look at the radars and top, I don't know if you want to pull it up. You don't have to, though, but it's in the messages that I sent you, our DMs on Twitter. It looks to be the size of half of the United States, and it is headed northbound. And it's this massive thing. I don't know what it is, but it has all of the signs. It feels like Godzilla.
I was going to say, it's got to be Godzilla. I was saying, like, what else could it be?
Oh, can we watch this? Let's watch this. Okay, cool. Here, let's, because there's two of them. One is just an image, I believe, and the other one is a short video, but they should be in succession, in sequence, run right after the other.
This one here?
To see our very, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, our very private chat.
We also have a significant event going on the west coast.
Here we go.
Antarctica anomaly. That's not the only thing going on. We also have a significant event going on.
Oh, this is actually
west coast of South America. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But again, this is the anomaly here that came off of Antarctica. There's a theory that an iceberg may have released off the bottom of the ocean on this part of Antarctica and rose up to the sea surface, causing these anomalies to be picked up by Ventoux Sky. Now, again, we can follow this thing all the way up into the Atlantic Ocean over the next 4 to 5 days. It's very, very weird. You can see it right here, 83.7 feet, and we'll come back to this, but look at what's going on in South America. And I want you to look at this here. This is our national,
and you can exit out of this. So basically what he says now is that one of the buoys, because you could actually watch these buoys, they give off live readings, and one of them dropped 2,000 meters, which is like insane for it to drop that far, and they haven't taken it offline, suggesting that it's not a error, because if it was an error they would have taken it offline. But there's a lot of strange anomalies going on in the water, and I can't help but think of Godzilla when it comes to all this. And I know that we don't have an answer either way, but speaking of giant lizards, I know this is a long way to get to this, guys. I was in a museum today, and this museum lied to my child. We're looking at a Triceratops, and he goes, "Dad, isn't this crazy that there's a Triceratops skeleton here?" And I go, "You know what's crazier? You know, none of these are real."
Yeah.
You know, none of these bones are real. It's like, and I go, so really what I want to do with this a little bit, and I don't know if you have anything on it, and if you don't, we can move on to the eclipse. But what do you think about, just today I posted, I said, "Look at these stupid fake dinosaurs." And somebody said, "Isn't it interesting that in the Bible it talks about dragons but says nothing about dinosaurs?"
I think that nobody talked about dinosaurs because it's stupid. It's like, it is. It's like it's a totally made up thing. It's kind of like that. You could look at a saltwater crocodile, and then that could be considered a terrible lizard. But I mean, it's like, but it doesn't have its own class of things that are just like this. I mean, it's told to children because kids would believe it, right? Mm. That there's this time where there's no people, and there was just these massive, super cool lizards that just conquered the earth. But that never happened. Like, that is literally just, that's a fantasy. The dragon thing is way more realistic because people wrote about dragons. I said, that's when you start to understand that when they started finding dinosaurs in the 1800s, like everything happened in the 1800s, by the way, like if you ever looked through history, it was the best of times and the worst of times. They discovered all these dinosaur bones. But the funny thing is, we know, and this is not conspiratorial at all, man has been digging in the ground since the Garden of Eden. So the idea that they didn't find one of these things until like basically like yesterday obviously just that's sus in itself. You know, it's funny. I was listening to an audiobook about the Romans once. And so Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of Rome. And at one point it's told by this college professor. And he's saying he actually kept dinosaur bones as like good luck charms or something like that. And then it's like, side note, he didn't actually believe they were dinosaur bones. He believed they were the bones of giant humans and also monsters.
Dog. Whoa. He didn't just believe it. He probably knew it.
Well, they did know that. I mean, again, all these ancient cultures, or not even super ancient cultures, talked about giants. They talked about dragons and stuff like that. I mean, it's too worldwide. And so, yeah, like as you said, when you first figure out that the dinosaur thing, like that those skeletons are not real, and they've never found like a complete whatever a tops or
no. When I was when I'm looking at this, it has a diagram and it shows you. Well, here highlighted on this image of the skeleton are the actual fossils that we found. And I would say roughly 10% of this entire structure is highlighted in red, indicating like these are what we found. And from these, we imagined the rest of this creature that you see before you. And even that, I think, is probably a stretch because I don't even know, you know, they don't keep what they actually find on display. You would never do that, right? You would never dig these things up and then put them on public display like that.
Well, supposedly what they say, and this again, this is kind of goofy. They say probably because they were destroyed by some asteroid or whatever a long time ago, that the dinosaur bones are actually radioactive. So they couldn't technically put them in the museums because they would be dangerous to people. I mean, that's the level of like ridiculousness that this stuff begot.
Yeah, not only did we create this thing off of very minimal information, but no, you can't see them because they'll poison
they're,
you. Kill,
they're super cool
you.
Though.
They're it's very like, dangerous.
But I made like a model of them. I made a model of. That's one of the funniest things. I think that I'm sure it was around the time I was making videos about stuff like this, and I looked up this story where I want to say that there was a tricenter. A Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton or something that they were trying to sell. And of course they were saying, this is going to get like the most money, obviously, at this auction. Well, they had to pull it from the auction. Get this, because they said too many of the bones were copyright. Like
what?
If you read into the article, what they say is there are certain Tyrannosaurus Rex skeletons that basically they had to make molds from these other ones, and they stole the copies of the molds, and they actually faked. But it was like, it was almost said in a way
they're faking a fake.
Yes. Yes. That this other kind of famous Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton was made out of these things, and they copyrighted the moldings of the bones. I mean, like, unbelievable.
Jeez. You know, dude, people always say when it comes to big lies, right. I'm just using this as an example. We don't have to segue this hard, but like when it comes to the Diddy thing, right? People go, how could I'm going everywhere, Diddy. Dude. I love talking about Diddy.
Wait. Before we go on Diddy, let me just say.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you know about the Boneyard, Alaska. Hold your thought, David, because I don't want to move off dinosaurs just yet. I feel like you're going to swing.
No. I wasn't going to switch this. I wasn't going to switch this. All I was going to say is people think that you could never hide a thing this big. And it's like Diddy operated for 30 years with immunity within the music industry and did all these terrible things to the stars that they held out in front of us, you know? Yep. And so when people go like, dinosaurs can't be fake, do you know how many people would be in on it? And it's like, yeah, when there's a lot of money and a lot of people are lying and stealing each other's fabricated work to try to pull off their own fabricated work, like, yeah, you can propagate a lie for a long ass time, guys. And it doesn't even have to be a good one. Because the whispers have been happening in both the dinosaur world and the hip hop industry.
After COVID, and you saw like the severity of that lie.
Yeah.
Not that COVID didn't exist, but just how organized everybody was just to get you to take a vaccine. And then kind of once they got that initial vaccine rollout, they just went into shambles. They like, oh, whatever, we did it. Like, we're done.
Well, they rely on a distracted public. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, well. Yeah, well, you know, maybe they were lying about that. But, you know, move on real quickly. Like, let's talk about the eclipse or something like that. That people are easily distracted.
Yeah.
But I do think it's like, it reminds me a lot of like the NASA stuff where if you guys have kids.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'm actually considering taking it. So I read my kid a freaking dinosaur book every night. He wants to read it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like that if you go watch like what they show kids on like cartoons and these little animation shows, I mean, how often is it dinosaurs in outer space stuff?
It's constantly. Yeah. They go hand in hand, and I keep telling myself, like,
and for obviously, you know, when we were young boys, it's like that's the way it was for us too. And it was like, and that's what I'm saying. I liked dinosaurs. I liked cool. I liked great white sharks and stuff like that. You know, like dangerous things and outer space stuff. So then, when you get to be an adult and you don't go look, you know, look into all the lies, it's very hard for people to reject that programming at some point because it's like, because I want there to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Jurassic Park was awesome.
Really cool.
Dude, but that was my first movie. Jurassic Park was my first movie.
Right. So you don't want that to be all fake. But yeah. I guess the thing is like you find out that like, here's a good example of this, like, but almost basically in space and this, they're saying like that you find out one day, oh, the Brontosaurus was actually not a real dinosaur because it was some guy took a head of something else and brought it over to where the skeleton was. This is like not conspiratorial. They'll tell you this. So then you're like, wait a minute. So where was the head at? And then so like you find out that the bones are they don't even claim they're in the same place. So they're just taking bones from random places and then they're building a model of something. There was another example. One of the most intact Tyrannosaurus Rex they ever found, the guy who originally found it thought it was a Triceratops. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait, you're telling me that, you know, you guys know what they're supposedly look like. How would you ever get them confused? So I thought right off the bat, I knew. So the thing didn't have a head. Mm. Okay, so what did you actually find? And again, that's the thing they don't often show you is what they actually found in the ground. By the time you get it into a museum, like we would have no idea which parts they cast off real bones versus how much they just faked.
Makes you think, like, what if the T-Rex had like regular sized arms?
What if the things were like parts of a wing?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because typically you'll see like, I think some species, even bats, will have like little hands at the end of their wings and stuff like that, right?
I like how they've evolved, the dinosaurs. Like every time I used to be, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a paleontologist. I was a complete idiot. I would have slapped myself. But I remember the dinosaurs being lizard, like green, black, that like a classic, mm-hmm. you know, a crocodile or alligator color. Mm-hmm. Then you check in a couple years later, they're all different colored. Then you check in a couple years later, it's like, oh, now they got feathers, and the feathers are like, what is this?
That's when I said I was out. I'm like, now I'm know, now I, yeah.
Wait, now they're birds?
Yeah, you're like,
now they're birds.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, okay, so if you believe, and this is how silly some of this stuff is. So what we're led to believe is evolution, right? So evolution, survival of the fittest, and natural selection, all that stuff. So what we're told is that these, you know, dominant monsters decided it might be more beneficial to us for our long-term benefit to turn into chickens.
Yeah.
Which we are, which are consumed by in mass all around the world.
Literally the most retarded of the birds. And you know,
no, but
have you ever seen that image of like where, so you think about the creative liberties that they could have taken, right? With just the smallest samples of bones that they collected from miles
David,
apart because of
I don't
whatever
think it's
happened.
That. I don't think it's that. They have to make it obvious to you. Like,
oh, the lie?
The consent. Yeah, because you have to consent to the lie. But they have to, like, tell it to you. And if it's a lie, maybe, like, some rules. Because these are the rules they play by, right? You must always agree to do their thing. They can't necessarily do it to you. You have to agree. So, and in that rule set, like, God's like, you could lie to them, but you got to make it obvious that you're lying. And they make it so obvious, and they still get away with a lie. From outer space to underground in, you know, fossils in the dirt, they're lying all the way in between.
Have you seen that, though? That image of, like, the hippopotamus where it's, like, what the skeleton looks like and what a paleontologist would describe it as? And it looks like this hideous beast, right? Because it's a really dramatic skull, a hippopotamus skull. And then it's, like, what the hippo actually looks like. And it's all fat-cheeked and happy, kind of looks like it has a smile on and everything. And it's, like, man, I mean... The it just keeps, and who's stopping you from taking these creative liberties? Who's there to press back against you and go like, no, that's not, like, nobody's around to do that. So you'd be like, this thing looked like this, dude. It looked like a dragon.
I had an old creation book like back when I was little, like I think my brother got it for me, and it showed that exact example. And it was kind of showing like that if they found a pit of bones, it's like in the movies, they're actually brushing off this fully intact skeleton that's under the ground. But it's like they might have found a pit of bones, and then they obviously found enough of it to make a skeleton, what they think could be a skeleton. And then just knowing that, like, he was showing like different animals, yeah, around the world, like with no skin, just the skeleton. And like what we would, and of course it was showing like animations, what we would guess it would look like versus what it actually, yeah, that's not enough. That's really not a lot to go on.
No.
But I do think, I almost think the bird thing could also be very similar to like the NASA stuff. Like, why would they lie about that? Why would they do this? And you're like, because they got to justify they're actually doing something to it. It's kind of like, can you imagine if they like, yeah, if they hadn't learned anything new since like, you know, you were a kid, you'd be like, what are you guys, what are you paleontologists doing these days? You guys got any new theories? Oh yeah. It's a super cool thing, right? This is how the Tyrannosaurus Rex and like the Triceratops fought. Check this out.
Imagine that's a 3D animation.
Cool. Yeah. That's exactly why, you know, I could, you know, if you don't mind lying, it does seem like an awesome gig. Or maybe it's not even a lie, because if you believe it, you're like, yeah, well, you just can kind of just come up with stuff. What do you think they ate? I mean, their necks were this long, so probably those
the entire right there. At this point, the entire industry of paleontology exists just to prop up the Jurassic Park films.
Dog, like, it's Pokemon. Doing
it. It is Pokemon.
It's the same people that keep making 150 different Pokemon every new game. In that freaking book that I read to my son, it says it's a Dr. Seuss book too, so it rhymes, and it's like, his name is Iguanodon, and we know this because he used his thumb to jab at his foe. And every time I read that line, I said, what the fuck are you talking about? What did you just say to my kid? What did you just make me say to my son? That it's a dinosaur and he has huge teeth, but he has a hard thumb. This is where we're at.
Oh my gosh. This point.
It's literal Pokemon.
That's the thing. That's the thing that they know. Like, that's obviously, that's something
yes.
they know.
How do you know that?
They definitely know that. That's what I'm saying. It's comical because you watch the, I think that's what I was like. As I got older, I started like history shows, and I watched all kinds of shows like on National Geographic and stuff. And as soon as they start doing 3D animation, I'm just like, okay, so now we're just going to have this guy just waxing poetic on just making just stuff up all over the place.
Yeah, now it's just entertainment.
And that, because you're like, really, that's what most, I think that that's what most of history and science is. And it's like, when you start to wake up to that, you realize they're speaking very, you know, like, with authority about things they couldn't possibly know. And I think as soon as you start to get onto that game, then you're saying like, why do I believe any of this? And then you see, because you really see like what they try to do through the dinosaurs very clearly is establish a timeline that rejects anything biblical. They try to say, that's why like people will try to say, were there dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? What do you got to say about the dinosaurs? I'm like, like, grow up. Like, what is that? What does that have to do with anything? Let's just say the dinosaurs existed. God said, take the animals on there. He didn't take all the monsters too. He was trying to kill. He was trying to kill them. He was trying to kill the monsters.
This is the point.
With the flood. Yeah. So the point is like that. If you brought an old bone to me, I don't have to argue against that. Like, okay, so things died. Things that were big died. I mean, there's still things that are monsters out there. I mean, just imagine like just the stuff that's in the ocean. Again, whatever that big blob is, like there's certainly things in the ocean, the deep, that we have no idea what's there. I mean, what we were told, you know, it's funny now that I think about this, what we were told is they know more about the moon than they know about what's on the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. Now I know they know zero about either of them.
Yes.
But yeah, like how could you know as big as the ocean is? Like, how could you know what's down there?
You were saying that this entire thing is propped up to discredit any kind of biblical timeline or biblical history. And I feel often the very same way about NASA. We've talked on this show where it's like this alien deception. It's my contention that it's a deception. They want to sell us this idea that they are benign space brethren who are technologically advanced and are very concerned with either our mutually assured destruction and nuclear war or destruction of the planet. And, you know, maybe they're going to intervene to some degree. And really what I think is this is a rebranding of ancient adversarial biblical entities, the fallen, the Nephilim, products of the aforementioned. And it's like that entire industry that sells us that is Hollywood, right? That sells us this alien deception, but also NASA. You know, it's like NASA has to set the ground rules for this is, and I'm not saying that I'm a flat earther, you know, either way, but it's like, this is a globe. There are these celestial bodies. Here are pictures of them. Here are, we're sending rovers. We're sending men to the moon sometimes, not again for a really long time. Maybe we didn't go, whatever. It's no big deal. But this entire industry of sci-fi alien genre within Hollywood is the mechanism that makes that go, or at least that's integral to making it go, part of the mechanism is NASA. And that is, in my opinion, another huge way that they discredit, you know, biblical history by feeding us something else and masking it and rebranding it.
The crazy part is, even when they do, they won't rebrand it. They'll tell the story of Noah, of Russell Crowe as Noah, right. And completely, I don't believe that you got it wrong. He got the name of one of the fallen, I forget the name of one of the fallen angels correctly. Did you see that movie?
I watched about half of it, and I was like, it's told from such a twisted perspective that I think when he was trying to kill, like everybody on his family and stuff at the end, I was just like, that's when I was kind of like, this is so dumb.
Today's episode is brought to you by HeavensHarvest.com. In times of uncertainty, peace of mind is priceless, and Heaven's Harvest has your back with the highest quality emergency survival foods and heirloom seeds. They have survival food kits for emergencies that last a week all the way up to 12 weeks. Choose from protein kits, entree kits, breakfast, fruits and veg, and even organic kits for you bougie survivalists. Don't forget to check out their heirloom seeds and choose from their vegetable kits, artisan seed kits, superfood kits, and more. They even have water filtration units. Build your stockpile without breaking the bank by visiting HeavensHarvest.com and using promo code Nephilim at checkout. That's promo code Nephilim, NEPHILIM, for 5% off your entire order.
I was out almost immediately when they go into this, they run into the, the barren wasteland, and there the fallen are, and the fallen are the rock monsters.
That's weird.
No mention of the Nephilim. And then, as a matter of fact, it even goes as far as to say that the fallen helped him build this. First off, the fallen are depicted as the Nephilim, as these like giant hulk, right. Whatever they could be. And really, in my opinion, what the fallen are entities that who knows what they look like. They probably look glorious. They probably look, some of them look like lions or whatever they choose to appear to you as. So that whole part is backwards. They get redemption from God afterward, which is like after they help him build this boat. It's very like, anyway.
Oh, so the fallen help him build the boat, and then
right. It's like him. I think there's some cool images in there. I think maybe I already knew it was trash before I watched it, so I was able to like say, okay, this wasn't so. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be told correctly. Yeah, there's a few clips. And it's funny. I just made a reel yesterday. I used the clip of like the angels coming down like fiery like stars. And I think that's kind of a cool image because I think that's probably somewhat accurate that like that they talk about like the seraphim angels being the fiery ones. And could that be what the watchers look like? Probably. The rock thing is weird because I think there's a lot of mythologies about like things being turned to stone. So I wonder how much of that actually comes from other places. But no, I think that's clearly told from like a Gnostic perspective. It's told from a different kind of, we believe that the Bible's true, but not really. But I think again, like, so the, well, like all the tenets of what they teach us now is like the science, and they try to discount all mythologies when again, like that's why you'd say like, well, there's history of dragons, and they'd say, oh, that's a myth. That's not really history. Even though it's like, it's written down, it's drawn everywhere. It's in like the Chinese, like zodiac. Like all the other animals are real. This one is not. That's strange. Like this.
What a potent point. Every single animal on the Chinese zodiac is real, except for the dragon. And these gigantic bones, not dragons.
Totally not the same, even though they might have looked, even though it's funny, even like that, even like you think about like the whole thing you were talking about, like dinosaurs having feathers. Well, think about like what they worshipped in South America. They worshipped the plume serpent.
Right, Quetzalcoatl or Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, and so I don't know if you guys know this, but like, so when you see like the Indian headdresses, that's why they wore the feathers, is because they worshipped a feathered serpent.
Yeah, I had a really weird dream twice, actually, about a feathered serpent. I talk about my dreams all the time on this show to no one's pleasure, because nobody likes hearing about anybody's dreams. It's just a dead end, but I can't help it. Anytime I hear about the feathered serpent, I had a dream where I was standing at the bottom of at the foot of a temple, in like an Aztec temple, and winding through the clouds was this great black serpent. And it was almost like calling me to some sort of like adventure. I don't know. It's very strange, but yeah, I mean, you spoken to Paul of Understanding Conspiracy, and he talked a lot about dressing like the entity that you want to possess you. And I can't help but wonder, is that what's going on there? Is it an homage, or are you hoping to be embodied to some degree by the spirit of this ancient entity?
I think he's likely correct. Yeah, I did a show with Paul. I mean, I've done multiple shows with him, but we talked a lot about that, about that. Again, so they're trying, again, like I'm saying, to go to the point where you're talking about, like, these aliens are not actually a nefarious group. They're like, they're benevolent, and like, maybe they can help us aspire to be greater. It's this idea that they, at one point they were talking about them being from Mars and whatever other planets, but then they kind of shifted at one point, saying, well, they might actually be interdimensional. And you're like, okay, so that should have been big red flags for people. Like, what does that even mean?
Feels like dinosaurs all over again.
Well, interdimensional, where it's almost like a spirit world or something like that. So if you think about it, it's all the kind of same thing, where Aleister Crowley, like the famous Satanist, father of the New Age, he famously said, now we call them angels and demons. One day we're going to call them something else. So either way, you're contacting these beings that are superior to us, that have ancient knowledge, have more, you know, have technology. I mean, that's very similar to the story of the Nephilim, where you have the Watchers come down, they give man technology, they give them knowledge of the stars, about metal, you know, basically drugs, witchcraft, like weapons, all the things. And so it's like this idea that they want that ancient knowledge from those things. And again, if they believe that, I believe that like the royal bloodlines in this world come from like the Nephilim. So it's kind of like this royal class. And so these people obviously are deified, the priest class, the royal class. And so I think there's many ways to maybe contact the spiritual world, or maybe not many ways, but like one of them specifically, I think, is like drugs, sorcery, some kind of a ceremony with use of drugs. I think there's obviously just some kind of religious ritual. You know, you have the people doing the sex magic. You got the people doing the ayahuasca in the rainforest. But as Paul said, that it probably involves intention. You know, so like if you are trying to dress up, like he talks about the clown thing, if that's a Nephilim costume, if you do that, you perhaps are opening yourself up. Like, are you trying to do that? Maybe astral project, and then you get contact with these entities when people talk about them being very similar in their experiences, and then they get knowledge from them. I mean, again, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing.
That's why, what was the episode with Tony Merkel where he said that he saw the guy that's dressed like the Mad Hatter at the event. And then that's symbolized in Pink's videos. And they said that's some kind of like high wizard.
Well, have you ever seen images top of, I believe, Papa Legba, which is a sort of a voodoo entity that often calls for, in order for him to give you whatever knowledge, of course, right, or advantage that Papa Legba can provide.
Oh, you muted yourself out. We told you this actually lasted longer than last time, but I'm going to check out Papa Legba here. Is this the guy he's talking about?
Oh, man. You know what that rhymes?
There you go. You see him with the top hat there?
You know what? As soon as I thought about that, there's that, girl says, I got daughters. There's that, the Princess and the Frog, the, you know, that Disney movie.
Yeah.
Where there's the Shadow Man. You know, the Shadow Man is like, he looks, I mean, almost just like that.
Yeah. So, Papa Legba, in order for him to give you whatever advantage that you desire from him, he requires the sacrifice of an innocent newborn baby which like these ancient entities always require a sacrifice, right? They always need a life. But we get a lot of this, JT, what you're saying is like spot on with this repackaging of the same old crap. And we look at it, and it actually agitates me because people will look at it through this lens of Gnosticism, like it's a profound discovery, when it's like you're just rebranding the same stuff. You know, when it comes to, for example, one of the ones that really gets me is simulation theory. And it's like, oh, so you believe that this is a like a creation, like that one thing created all of this, and that this isn't all there is to life. And when we die in this, we're going to go somewhere else. Do you hear this? You're literally just giving me a trash version of God.
Yeah.
Like you're giving me a trash version of it. So, I mean, it's the same.
Gave me the Aldi's version of God.
Yeah, man. And it's like people are walking around with this sense of like profound discovery. And all we're doing is it's like there's nothing new under the sun. You're just dusting off old things that our ancestors had a much better grasp on than we do. And you're going, look what I found, and I know what this is. It's like you're just calling it something. It is insulting.
Well, it's childish is what it is, because you're saying like that it's a semantics game where like I'm comfortable calling them aliens. That's why we said we made that movie Ancient Angels, and that's why I said it seems very condescending the way they talk about the ancient peoples, where it's like, well, they weren't advanced enough to realize they were actually aliens they were talking to. They weren't gods. They weren't actually gods. They were aliens. And you're thinking like, okay, so what is your context where you would know more about those things than they did? The ones who interacted with them, because you've seen Star Trek. So now that you realize what an alien is. So that's like, you know, so like it's, so I'm more comfortable calling, it's like the story does not change one bit if they came from outer space. They came from up there down to here. If they called it heaven and you called it outer space, and the beings are superior to us, they had technology. If you want to call them space aliens versus somebody says the gods came down from heaven. Okay, so now we really are just talking about semantics. You're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Even like the famous atheist Richard Dawkins at one point, you know, who obviously does not believe in the God of the Bible because he says he's an atheist. He actually got backed into a corner one time, and he actually said he actually said that he considered the idea of panspermia, where like this race of aliens basically populated the earth. And it's like, oh, so you believe in a creator, just not that one.
Exactly. And that's the big thing that, in my opinion, is the really big deception that's coming, is we're going to be sold this idea that we were seeded here by these, you know, greys or these Nords or these insectoids, whatever the
hell.
That's why
we named this show. And one of the things that we did when the show first started, even before it started, me and David were talking, and we would just be like on Twitter, be like, yo, that's Nephilim shit. Hashtag Nephilim shit. And we kept like putting it out there. And then all of a sudden, like we clipped Owen Benjamin saying it randomly, Sam saying it. It's going to like Josie the Red. And I'm like, oh, we've lost control of that. Then a couple months later, the Miami thing happens. And I'm not taking credit for it, but I'm saying like we helped push that ball into, instead of saying, you know, 9 months ago, there was a 9 foot tall aliens in Las Vegas.
Right.
And then Miami happens and they go, there's Nephilim at the mall. And I'm like, well, what happened in between those 6 months where some people that were comfortable with the alien thing have decided, nah, bro, Nephilim. And they're over there. It's about culture. Like if you can move that to the truth, make it fun and stuff. I feel like that's what we've been trying to do. So,
no, I think you guys are. I mean, I think it only makes sense that, again, if this ancient alien theory has any merit to it, which I believe it or not, I do think it does, because I think that again, it's calling something else. Mm-hmm. So the idea is real, and it's like, so if the people here believed in these gods that came down, they call them Anunnaki. Well, that's probably more likely true than the version we would have that says these people didn't really know anything, you know? So we should actually give a little more credence to the mythologies and the history we have that we do have, because again, we obviously are seeing in a pretty dimly lit room in 2024 of what happened thousands of years ago. But yeah, like as Solomon famously said, there's nothing new under the sun. So if the Bible talks about the Nephilim, the heroes of old, the men of renown, I think it's likely that there is some kind of a worship of that. There's some kind of a remnant of that. And to what extent, I mean, I don't know, but I do believe that when you start to find out like Hillary Clinton and the people in the government are looking for the Tomb of Gilgamesh.
Yeah, the resurrection chamber of Gilgamesh and the buried Nephilim. You know, we had
part Nephilim.
Yes. Are you familiar with Gary Wayne?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got his book.
We spoke to Gary, and it's Gary's contention, which I agree with, and I know Top does as well. This idea that the Greek pantheon and many of the pantheons that were supposedly mythological were actually just the fallen, and those heroes of old, the men of renown, were those demigods. Those were the Nephilim, you know. So when you hear of a Hercules or a Perseus or, you know, somebody of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have, I'm just talking about these mythologies connecting and how we look at them and we go, look at our stupid ancestors. But, you know, we had Timothy Alberino on, and he tells a fascinating story about the people who are of the lineage of the native Peruvians. The ones who are closest to, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, the locals. The government will tell you one thing about their megalithic structures and how they came to be. They say that they were built by the Inca, and the actual people who are the descendants of the people who have stretch back generations and generations, they say these megalithic structures were built by a race of giants, cannibalistic mm-hmm. giants
yep.
who were, mm-hmm. and I believe they even say them that they had red hair yep. and that their kind of overarching head god sent floodwaters to destroy them. And it's like, wow, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, there was actually, I think, so when I started to get interested in this space, I was watching Rogan and stuff, and he had Graham Hancock on a couple of times. And so I listened to him about his theories about lost civilization, which again, I agree with. I don't agree with all his conclusions, but you see it, that show Ancient Apocalypse. So there's a place in Mexico. I think it was the second episode. I really didn't like the show that much. It was kind of boring, but he was talking about Cholula. Have you ever heard about Cholula?
No.
Cholula is somewhere, a city in Mexico where it's the biggest pyramid in the world, at least they say, but as far as like how wide it is. I think it's like three times as wide as the Great Pyramid, but it's not as tall, but it's completely buried. Actually, they say there's multiple pyramids buried under the ground. And then of course the Spanish ended up building a Catholic church on the top of this place. So anyways, so at one point he's telling the story about how the Spanish, the conquistadors, were asking the locals who built this. And they say that they have these crazy mythologies that they came out of the ground. There's like these seven sacred tribes that came out of the earth. And when they came up on the earth, there was giants here. And so the giants built the pyramid, and then their sky god decided that they needed to go. So he sent a flood to kill them all. And so you're like, okay, what, like how much more proof do you need that this, like this story is not like, this is not the Hebrews making it up. It's not this one side of the world. I mean, this is a completely different side of the world where they've supposedly would have had no connection. They've got the exact same story about giants building megaliths and then being killed in a flood.
Well, that's the thing is,
it makes me think
you can have this sort of, this is just ancient civilizations aggrandizing a natural disaster, right? And it's like, well, what about the through line of giants? What about that? And you go, well, no, there's definitely evidence for massive floods having taken place all across the planet, maybe several times. You know, Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson talk about that a lot. And, you know, obviously there's all this weathering on the Sphinx and all this stuff that suggests that that's absolutely true. But it's not, I think they have it backwards, right? It's not that the ancients mythosed this flood event and added all this apparatus around it. No, there were giants. there were right. giants. They started eating people, and God didn't like that. And sounds a lot like Noah.
Yeah, Occam's razor would say the simplest explanation is that they weren't all making that up.
Right.
And I think the funny thing, I remember saying in Ancient Angels, like I was saying, it's kind of like if I said, hey guys, the craziest thing just happened. an alien just showed up. He had a spaceship, and it's like it's the coolest thing you've ever seen. And then you'd be like, no way that happened. I said, the spaceship's right there. I was like, he left it. You know, so if I told you that an alien showed up and I didn't give you the spaceship, then you'd be like, well, you could just say I was making it up. But isn't sort of the evidence the fact that, hey, there's this building here that we have no idea how a human could build it? Like, so there's actually physical evidence. It's like, so not only are they lying, but they do have some kind of evidence that's very hard to explain.
Yeah. And what does archaeology do? They go, well, how did they build it? We're not too sure. We're still trying to figure that out. How did they say they built it? Giants. No.
Definitely not giants.
Definitely not giants.
But the blocks are gigantic. So I mean, like, so it would make more sense if they were bigger. I mean, like,
No.
I still believe that the giants must have had some kind of technology, because I don't know how big they were, but yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, so they're just gonna try to tell us, like, so we found these tools around the site, so therefore they would have had to build it using these tools. When a rational person would say, well, the rocks are harder than the tools. So therefore the tools could not cut those stones. So therefore they didn't use that. So that we don't know what they use, but instead they will try to say, like, well, we got it all figured. Just the same thing about the dinosaurs with the thumb. We know that he stabbed with the thumb because we found a thumb and it looks really weird. So we found this one, copper saw. So therefore they had to chop that 1 million pound stone right over there with the saw. And you're like,
it's unfathomable to think that this is a work site. There's a lot of tools here. They left behind the ones they didn't give a shit about. They were cutting these huge stones, they took with them.
And or like I said, I'm, you know, my family's owned a construction business. You know what we do when the job's over? We don't leave the tools.
We take them to the next place. The tools you do leave, it's like, it's probably garbage, right?
I think, again, like, this is probably a situation where, like, they will attribute all of the things in Egypt to the ancient Egyptians. Those people are ancient to us, but the interesting thing about, like, the ancient peoples, even like in the Bible, there's verses about the ancient times. And when they mention ancient times, they're talking about in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
So if these people talked about a time before, they were talking about this separation between the people here and the people there. And so there's people who obviously always lived around those ancient sites, but they knew that they didn't build it. And I believe the Egyptians are the exact same way, that they squatted over those ruins. And they're probably even ruins at the time. And they probably built their stuff, and they were advanced to the time, but they didn't build the most epic stuff, because if they did, they would have kind of left some kind of record of how they did it.
Timothy Alberino actually said that. I think it was that episode, right, Topper? He was saying that the Inca, the actual Inca, didn't even claim to have built.
They never did.
They said they found him.
Yeah.
Right. And you think about it, I believe it's the possibilities that these places were like some kind of possibly maybe power generators. There was something significant about these places. I think that it could be about ley lines. I think these were very specific places they built these things that might have been geographically, you know, significant. Maybe magnetism, some kind of, I mean, who knows? Maybe we're talking about like spiritual portals and stuff where they put these things. So these people would have known about the ancient peoples. They would have known about their ancestors. And they would have obviously revered these places too, and probably built around them.
What do you know about the 33rd parallel? We just had on Brad Lilly, or how do you say his name? Lyle from the Awakened Pod, and he's an expert on the 33rd parallel. But we were going deep on like electromagnetism along that line, and what does that mean? Is that a fault line? What kind of electromagnetism is coming from the stars or the sun is creating this pressure in the atmosphere that is, you know, that's creating this force. And along that line, a lot of strange behavior happens, a lot of weird events happen, but people set certain things up like beacons almost. Like there's a lot of white crosses.
Yeah, it wasn't just megalithic structures either that happened to be along this line. It was also significant historical events. Significant like foundings of like the 33rd Scottish Rite, I believe it's like all of these different things the assassination of JFK happening on the 33rd parallel. Yeah, underneath the 33rd underpass is where he was. Like, all these different things all happen here. And he did allude to this idea that maybe there was something about fissures, right? These separations in the tectonic plates where this energy is like pouring out. The way he described it, Top, reminded me of, you know how within the ocean there are these undercurrents? They're almost like they're often displayed as like rivers of currents that run. So it seemed to me that there was like the same effect of like this energy pouring out of these, the separation between tectonic plates, and then traveling through the atmosphere almost in these, you know, these magnetic lines. And that, you know, not only do all these events happen on them, but it seems that these things that we've dubbed UFOs use them for some sort of travel. So there's all this like high strangeness around
even
there. But
Skinwalker Ranch, is he said it's on the 32nd parallel, which is only 80 miles. It's a 80 mile diameter, but it's right there. And you'll see the UFOs constantly going there. And then if you've watched a show, there's like high electromagnetic energy, and they get crazy readings from, you know, all kinds of devices there.
I believe it. I mean, I think that everybody knows there's electricity in the air. And I think that that's why, like, I did see a show about Tesla being kind of obsessed with the pyramids and that kind of idea that there's, that these things were, you know, the whole 369 concept, and that's related to all that stuff. I mean, I've looked more into recently, especially even like the old world building stuff, about like that maybe this, like the earth, what it really is we live in like this toroidal field where there's magnetism coming up from the North Pole, and like it circulates through the ether, and there's ways to tap into that. I think it makes a lot of sense in the sense that the technology now that we view as advanced seems actually kind of really not that advanced, because like renewable energy would be way more advanced than like using, you know, oil and coal and stuff to just, you know, you have to make small explosions in order to create energy. That seems like a wasteful way to make it. Yeah. When you really do think, like, I mean, I'm sure like if you've been on these roller coasters, it start with like with the magnets and how quick they can go. And just like, just think about like a Tesla car, like that, how long it takes, so much longer for a combustion engine to go versus the things that can go right away. I think it makes perfect. Yeah, exactly. I think something to do with magnetism, it makes so much more sense that there is that. And you think about like, have you ever seen any of the stories about like the old world buildings with the antennas and the star forts with the water and using magnetism and the ether? It's as crazy as that sounds, I do believe that technology is maybe not that long ago that people had that, and they probably do know how, what the pyramids were used for. And I think that the whole tomb concept is just a dumb lie, because again, there's no evidence.
They haven't even found bodies, right?
So no, there's like, there's no evidence of that. If you see like when they found King Tut's tomb, and he wasn't like a major pharaoh. It's like obviously decorated to the nines. It's got stuff all over the inside of it. It's painted up. It's beautiful. And then supposedly one of the greatest kings and pharaohs in Egypt, he's got the Great Pyramid, which is the biggest one. It's the greatest one. And yet it's barren on the inside. It is built like it was made to do something else. Like, is it possible that there was some kind of machine in where the king's chamber was? I think there was.
You said before that we've kind of said it a couple of times throughout this episode so far, that there likely was technology that they had that, you know, we kind of don't. Top, before you were saying how funny it is to believe that they had copper saws, right? And they're sawing through like granite. And one of the biggest red flags when it comes to these stones is not only oftentimes are they cut with razor precision, in some instances you couldn't fit a sheet of paper in between the stones, but there are some instances in South America where the stones almost have a bevel to them, as if they were soft and molten when they were put into place. Mm-hmm. And the way that the stone cured was, you know, first it was hot and pliable, and then it sort of was set in place.
They look like marshmallows.
They look like marshmallows, right? Yeah. And of course, we have this idea of Atlantis, which as we move further through time seems to have even more credence. And the idea of Atlantis was always that they were a highly advanced technological civilization. And we kind of don't know how to place that. You know, does that mean that they had just like really advanced tools? Or when we think of advanced as far as technology, we think of like iPads and and the cameras that we're using and the technology that we're using to communicate. But maybe this is just a rediscovering of old technology, you know. But this idea of our ancestors using these rudimentary tools to do these things, we wet the sand, we put the blocks on pieces of wood, and we pulled them across the wet sand. And that's how we, and it took like 1,000 people to pull one stone, and it took a long time, but hey, we did it. And it's like, well, why are they molten looking?
How'd you get them all the way up there if you just
Well, lots of slaves, of course. I mean, that's like, that's the easy answer, but I think that that's when you have to like,
the crazy answer is the slaves are Jewish people. It's like, okay. See what I mean? They always have to add that layer of absurdity. And it's like, do you believe me now?
Actually, you know, that's the one thing I remember. I was talking about this in a podcast once that I would say, you know how I know that the Hebrew slaves did not build the pyramids. Well, not at least not the great ones, is because it said that during the Exodus, when Pharaoh made, or in Moses and Aaron made the Pharaoh mad, they wouldn't give the Hebrews straw for the bricks anymore. So they had to make bricks. And so, like, if you know, like the Great Pyramid's made of giant stones, an average of a 2-ton stone. They were limestone. They weren't making bricks. They were carving these things out of the bedrock, and they were shaping these things. So anyways, to everybody's point though, the thing that when you start to get in this space and you start to research history and you find out like the Romans and the Greeks and the Persians, the Babylonians, there was never a time where man was stupid and primitive. Again, you think about like the Romans and the things they had. Okay, so they had everything that we have, except they didn't have an iPhone. Right. I mean, that's basically kind of what they're saying, that they had all the comforts of like civilization, but they didn't have this certain electrical tech. And that's how we view advancement. Right.
But they did have like weird occult things like scrying mirrors or scrying.
Well, the funny thing is they actually had a lot more tech than people even realize. And they say that technology got lost somehow, even though the Romans wrote everything down. Point being is that if we try to view it versus like what we learned in the last basically 150 years, and that's kind of what our timeline looks like, probably because there was something that really bad happened right around the 19th century, I believe now. But this is like, we have like, it is, it almost feels like that we did find some tech and we kind of maybe reverse engineered stuff. And then that's why our tech kind of went up like in this 45-degree angle so quickly. But I think that there was a time before where they had technology and it's different. It was clearly something different,
like, and it doesn't technology.
And I think it was likely, I think it was based on what they could do with it, it was likely more advanced.
Vibrations, because, harmonics, frequencies, something.
Yeah. Magnetism. Like, I think that there was something and I think that was one of those things where the Noah movie, I was saying, give me a Hollywood budget and I could make the most lit Days of Noah movie, because you could imagine, like, because I, first of all, it would be like, I'd make it like the stories of Atlantis. You'd have giants, you'd have angels, you'd have, you know, technology. I think that the times before, because if you think about it, even my buddy Luke Caverns, who does like lost civilization stuff, he said, so if what they want us to believe is like in the days of Noah in that movie, these people were just like very primitive. They're wearing like animal skins, they're like hunter gatherers. Okay, so if our God is going to send a flood to destroy the whole earth to kill those people, he wouldn't have needed to do that. Is it more likely that he would need to send a flood to kill an advanced civilization, like a big place, like people who built pyramids, not like people who are just, you know, worrying about the bare necessities, trying to get food?
Couldn't you have just sent like smallpox to wipe those dudes out? Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You could send a lightning bolt and you could have just burned down their little huts. But
right. No. What do you send to destroy a civilization that is actively blocking out the sun?
Right. Yeah. Well,
Did you read about that?
We might find out.
Yeah, I know that it just feels like, oh, we've been here before as a human race.
I think it seems similar to the biblical story of the Tower of Babel, where like there is a point where man gets enough technology where he rejects God entirely, and because we don't need you anymore. You know, if there was a time where the people relied on God for rain and those kind of things, and like the good harvest and all that stuff, and then you get to the point where like man just kind of like says how great I am, you know, moves God out of the picture, and then we all work together, and of course we know men that when you have like a one world government, it would be tyranny. So a just God would have to judge a place because he couldn't use other nations to judge this wicked nation, like what he's always done. So there'd be a time where it's like, no, he has to do it himself because there's no good left. And if he allowed that to continue, then all the good would be stomped out of the world because through the tyranny of men. But I do think that like the stories of Atlantis, the funny thing is, like, if you actually read what Plato said, it's not that insane. Like, it's really not that insane. And it lines up perfectly with the Bible, because what's interesting is the story came from Egypt, right? So he heard it from another Greek historian named Solon. And I think he was like probably a generation or two removed from Plato. And they told him, or they told Solon, that Poseidon, which again, it's interesting because they went to the Egyptians would have had a different name for Poseidon, but it was the god of the sea or the god of water. He set up this city by having five sets of twin sons with so he basically created this race of these princes of Atlantis were all Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And then the story was that they were advanced, but then they became very depraved and corrupt as the divine spirit dwindled in them. So in my mind, I'm thinking, like the story of like the Book of Enoch and the Nephilim is that maybe at some point the Poseidon, being a powerful angel, maybe the main watchers, he's not always around. So at one point, in order to keep their bloodline royal, you end up having like this incestuous family. And then the more they do that, the more depraved and corrupt they become. And so then the story of Atlantis is eventually the other gods say that this place needed to be judged with a flood. So Zeus and the other gods sent a flood to destroy that place. And you're like, if that was a true story, I mean, I believe it, but if it was an allegory, it sounds just like would have been the days of Noah. It sounds exactly like that story.
And the reason it's a great story is because it mimics the truth line by line. Most of the movies that we like, we don't really like movies now because they're not telling true stories anymore. But most of the stuff that we do like, the classics, is just a story of a famous archetype, and that's what works. There's like 10 of them that you can tell. Pick away, you know, you could tell the hero's journey in a Bruce Lee movie or The Lion King.
Right, they're all choose. It's a old story repackaged, and it's always told the same way. And it's like, I think that's what like a lot of people, like you were saying, and Gary Wayne's mentioning that the story of the Nephilim and the fallen angels is the story of Greek mythology. There's something inside of us when you finally made those connections and somebody told you that, you're like, that makes a lot of sense, because you always thought it was weird. Why are these stories still resonating with people if it's completely made up? Again, we're not related to the Greeks or the Romans, right? Like, at least what we're told in America, we're like a colony of the British and the Europeans. And so we're much later than that. So why would we care about the god of Neptune and Zeus, and like, why would we care about that here?
To say,
oh, go ahead, Dave.
I wanted to say it's almost reductive to say that it resonates with us, because when I hear it, like something in me just goes, yes, you know, like I hear that and I'm like, yeah, absolutely, yes.
So Bradley yesterday, he was talking about vibration, and again, you just said it resonates with us. Like, this is a term of frequency that you're describing. Mm-hmm. With our language, with our words, our spells that we're spelling out. So when you hear something and it hits you, it like rings true. You just feel it in your body. You're like, oh, that's the thing. And it's amazing that we can manipulate stuff like that through movies or songs or even, I guess, podcasts. If you're telling a truth bomb and someone hears it and they're like, damn, that's true. Now,
yeah, like your mind is blown. You're like, your mind is blown by like what you just heard, because it's like, there's something, it's interesting how like that thing where like, there's something in our, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really believe in like reincarnation or anything like that, but I do believe that there must be something just embedded in us where like Paul was talking, of course, Paul talks about the demonic clowns, right? Mm-hmm. And instinctively, we all know that the clowns are like, there's something weird about that. We don't like it. I mean, again, yeah. I don't know anybody who thinks they're funny. You know, a million people who
they're
think
definitely they're, not funny. Nobody thinks they're funny, right?
No, it's not a funny look. It's a very frightening look. And it's like he was saying, is it a fight or flight mechanism where we've learned over, over the years where like these things that hunted us at times. And now you're like, that makes sense because we can't really put our finger on it why we don't like clowns. But then when you put it in that, like if this thing was some cannibalistic thing, you're like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
The relationship between human being and Nephilim back in the day must have been terrifying. You think that like, they had dominion over the people, but when you say hunted, I'm like, that probably happened too, man. Like people were just like running for their lives or living under subjugation.
Yeah.
To what end? And like every week they take another baby to eat. Man, that's brutal. You got to end that with a flood.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's like this, because I think that the way I'm perceiving it, especially like if you just like just the biblical story is the giants were in Canaan. And so at some point, God used not only the Israelites, but other, like even the Philistines. I think he used Esau's people. He used the Moabites to go move out the giants from that land. And so he used the Israelites. Well, obviously, I don't think they killed 100% of them. So then they left. And so then you get these stories of like these depraved cannibalistic giants living in caves, even in America. Even in the Americas, yeah. There's stories like that. Was it Chaco Canyon where they... or Lovelock Canyon where they burn those.
Yep.
You know, the Native Americans have stories about burning giants in there.
Yeah, because they smoked them out. They killed them. They deprived them of oxygen and they killed
right.
them.
So you have like these stories where like when these things come out, obviously the intentions are bad because it's like they literally are coming to eat somebody.
Right.
So yeah. So those, I mean, that's again, it's funny. So like the giants get credit for building advanced things, but also being wicked and depraved. And it's like, doesn't that sound like what the Bible talks about? Doesn't that sound like what, even like the story of like Jericho? So if you actually pay attention to the details of the story of Jericho, that's the first city that the Israelites encounter when they cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. It's a megalithic city. So like, again, all these things are set up by these huge walls. And that's what happens to the Israelites coming in there and that's when God's like, get rid of all of them. You know, that's why he's saying like, kill everybody there, even the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when he's saying that, there must be something, there's something more there than that's why people would view the God of the Old Testament as being very bad. But
yeah,
but like literally he gave mercy to certain people and certain people he didn't. So now you understand like why he might have done the things he did.
It never made sense to me, that part specifically. And I was like a libertarian for a while. So I was like, I don't know if I'm cool with the God that's so like pro-genocide. Because he's like, just go in there and kill everything. Don't like, he's like, if there's virgins, kill them too. I know that you're horny over there. And the goats, kill them. And I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? That's kind of messed up. But if you think about the city they're going into, if they're doing like, just like, you know, breeding pods of like all kinds of insanity, all kinds of cryptids coming out of there, like he's, you know, kill everything.
And again, it's interesting. We don't even know what kind of technology they even had in those days. It's like, so we're our view of it. It's like people walking around in sandals and just like in the dirt and the dust, dusty desert. They might've had a lot of stuff there when they said, go in there and kill them. Did they have breeding centers for weird cryptids and stuff like that? Is it possible that the animals were also crossbred weird things too?
When you have the Egyptian pantheon is like half animal, half man, right? And it's like a lot of the Greek pantheon and the Sumerians and all these other things, they seem very much like the fallen. In my opinion, it almost seems like a lot of the Greek pantheon or the entities that you see throughout their mythology, I think a lot of them were like hybrid creations. Like when they were, you know, creating all these different animal/human hybrids and everything, and God is like, kill everything, even the animals. Like, I kind of wonder, is that the animals that we're talking about?
Things that look like animals. Yeah, it looks like
puppy. Yeah, there's, well, we did a study at one point. We did a podcast, me and Brian, and he was going through the works of Josephus, and Josephus was talking a lot about beasts. And the word they had for beasts in there, it was different than like regular animals. And so, yeah, he was making the connections where they were talking about, like, the, in Egypt, they were breeding these things that were not quite animals and they were not quite humans.
Right.
And so, like, even there's crazy stories about it. Have you guys ever seen the story about, like, I think it's like Saint Christopher?
Yeah. Doghead.
And you're like, I mean, I guess when you just, I've learned a lot of crazy stuff, but I mean, it's really hard for me to imagine.
They're doing it now, though. Like, I mean, Alex Jones, a couple of years, is like, they're breeding man, people, pigs in China. And I'm like, this guy's crazy. And they're like, ah, we're breeding them in China, but it's not as successful as we'd like you to know. And which means that they've actually, now they have like a dude with a pig head walking around. Whenever they
Well, yeah, by the time that it comes out to the public, we're just starting these new tests. It's like, yeah, well, how it's been 20 years and now they're finally about to unveil it.
Yeah, how many monstrosities have you created?
We shut down MK Ultra because, you know, we just decided that, like, after we discovered all this stuff, like, it didn't really work so good. So we
Work. That's the funniest thing. Yeah, it didn't work. Even though, like, every pop star's got a butterfly tattoo on her.
Right, exactly. You know, when you see the whole Montauk Project thing, where a lot of what people were talking about back in the day was finding like these children walking around the forest in their white kind of hospital robes, and these are the same kids that the show Stranger Things is based off of. Right, they're doing these experiments. Kind of makes you wonder how many times have they created some animal human hybrid that like wasn't as successful as they like, or maybe was, but was also smart enough to escape. And is just wandering around like.
What
like
about the whole Montauk Monster? Did you ever see that thing that washed up on the beach? Yeah. Whatever that weird thing was. No, that's Stranger Things. It's crazy how dark some of the stuff is that people don't. I mean, Stranger Things is a dark show, but it's not dark as like what actually happened there.
Right.
And I think it literally is where like they're torturing animals and children in order to basically appease demons. And they're trying to open a portal, you know. I think in some ways, as fantastical as that show is, maybe it's pretty close where it's like they were trying to make a gate to the upside down. And if you think about what that is, it's like,
that's what CERN is.
They're literally, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing is like that if CERN might be the biggest example of it as far as like size wise, like very similar to like you have with Jack Parsons and the Babylon Working trying to open a portal to the Whore of Babylon or whatever.
Right.
And again, but they all believe in the same kind of thing where they're doing sex magic and all the kind of stuff. And if you, what Lester Crowley says is the most powerful sex magic is sex with young boys.
Right.
You know, it's like almost going in back into like the sacrificing a baby in that, you know, that the voodoo thing.
There's like something that,
it's something about the pure blood, you know, removing innocence. And it's like, if that's not demonic, I don't know what is.
Right. So we talked about it earlier. It's like drug use is often a way to open these portals. I think it's an amalgamation, right? I think that there needs to be a certain geometry set up. I think that it depends on what you're trying to do. But for these people in particular, there's a geometry aspect to it. There's very much how you would get a congregation ready for worship by playing music before the gospel starts or the sermon starts, is the same way you would use sort of the horrible things like trauma to charge the room, right? So you've got a geometry aspect, you've got a drug aspect that's amplifying this portal, you've got a trauma aspect that's charging the room with a certain frequency or a certain energy. And then, if you add in on top of all those layers, a technological aspect, you know, if we're talking CERN or whatever technologies they have at their disposal. Mm-hmm. I think that these are all components that they're using to do all these things.
Think about how crazy it's like a $7 trillion machine. And you have to also like bang kids within it. And you also have to sacrifice to the god of like Shiva, the god of destruction, just to mimic a little bit of what it's like the Ozempic of faith in God, you know, like people that don't want to put the hard work in to actually like, what does God say about this? Is this good? Maybe I should live this way. Like I could bang a bunch of kids and skip all that other part and get like effects that are like 1/10 as good as what, you know, what you're getting.
It's or crackhead behavior. Or, you know, it's do you guys ever see that movie, The Prestige?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Good movie, right?
It's a great movie.
So what I learned about that movie, or at least my takeaway from that movie was, okay, so you had magicians and then you had a wizard. And so it's interesting how the only real character in that movie was Tesla, right? And yeah, he was the one who could actually do magic. He could make this magical machine. And so the whole point of like the magician was to deceive people. It was basically an illusionist. So he was the one who was going to sell it to the people. He was going to sell this trick, and the people want to be tricked, right? They want to see magic. So they're okay with being tricked, and they won't try to like figure out the trick because they don't want to see it. What was interesting about that was that the one scene where, you know, was Hugh Jackman brings in the machine that Tesla brought, and the guy from the theater immediately knows that was actual real magic. He says, it's been a long time since I saw real magic. And what he told Hugh Jackman was, I want you to dumb it down. Like, he wanted him to make it look more, so the job of the magician in that point was to try to deny that it was actually real.
Yeah. So sometimes to make it look like it had holes in his game. Like it was a deception.
So it was almost like that. I've wondered this at times, that is CERN all that big old eyeball looking machine, is that more of the smoke in the mirrors? And how they really open a portal is all the things you said before.
Right. The Shiva statue, the ceremonies they're doing, the time of year, the dates, the colliding particles on the same day as the eclipse. Like, is that where the magic is?
Nothing right. Well, it's like they had I did a video about it one time when I was like, so they're supposedly looking for dark matter. Right. And then so they have Dark Matter Day on October 31st at CERN.
Oh, that's interesting. Get out
of here. Yeah. Look that up. So obviously probably to the people over there, they would call it Samhain. And so that's when the veil is the thinnest. Right. And right. So I was doing all this thing. So CERNunos is the god of duality. So he's celebrated on Samhain because you're entering the dark half of the year, and he's literally the god of the hunt. And so what they're doing on October 31st over at CERN is hunting for dark matter. So who better to do it than the god of duality, the god of dark and light?
And did you see, JT, that on the 8th?
These people are sick, dude. Yeah,
it's it's right. I love how their logo is just 666.
I know. I joked about my video. I was saying that this is the time of year. I said that the people at CERN dress up and pretend to be scientists every day of the year, but now they can wear their costumes on Dark Matter Day.
Did you see that on the 8th, on the day of the eclipse? I believe his name is actually Higgs boson. He died.
Gosh, I mean, like my first thought has got to be that was
sacrifice. I think it was a sacrifice too.
Like he sacrificed on that day.
Yeah, because I think that the entire premise of the large particle collider is that they're looking for this Higgs boson particle, right? So you have this thing, you set it up as this thing that you're always trying to achieve. And you just tell the public that that's what you're trying to do. And it's this guy's discovery, his theoretical discovery. And so you prop him up as the front man for this whole operation. And then when you finally achieve what you're really trying to achieve, which is, you know, whatever it is, opening portals or some sort of end times prophecy you're fulfilling, that you need that little bit of energy. That extra bit of energy on the day of the 8th, right? NASA's launching their rockets and everything's in alignment, and you just kill off the guy who's literally the front man for your entire operation. You kill him. You sacrifice him to appease your, you know, whatever entity it is, Shiva or whatever.
I mean, you can't put anything past that. I mean, I that's what I'm saying, that we could never know if they were doing anything genuine. It's kind of like that. Is this possibly the similar to what they do at NASA, where like they've got this massive budget to do something. So like they got to show that they're doing something, but we have no idea if they found whatever math problem they were looking for. I mean, give me a break.
They at one year, NASA did like Muslim outreach. That was their like highest ticket on their tax item. I was like, are you kidding me? That's what you did? Nothing with outer space? Muslim outreach in the Middle East? Okay. Wild. Well,
they got to justify all that money they're getting from the government.
Yeah, it's something like, I think it's a 40 million a day or something like that. Don't quote me on that number, but it's quite a lot.
Yeah. 33 billion, I'm sure.
Right.
It'll work out to be a certain number that's very special to them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So listen, man, we've kept you for an hour and a half here. I think this conversation was incredible. Could you tell the people where they can find you and what you're doing next? And we'll bring this episode in for a landing.
Yes, sir. So if you, you can find me most regularly now on YouTube. JT follows JC. I'm on Instagram as well, as you guys found me on there. I make a lot of short reels on there. I'm also on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. But as I mentioned a couple of times, I did a movie with my buddy called Ancient Angels. So if you guys, obviously, if you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you like Nephilim stuff. So if you check that out, it's ancientangelsmovie.com. But if you find me on any of the social media apps, you can hit the link in my link tree. I got episodes of my podcast. I'm also on Rumble. As I was telling you guys before, I'm trying to build my presence on X, but it's going slow. Anytime you're looking for me, JT follows JC. Pretty easy to follow me.
All right. I'm going to follow you on Twitter, and I'll make sure to retweet your stuff on there.
Yeah, man.
Maybe we can help you grow.
That'd
your
be good.
Link tree is in the description of this episode. So if any of our fans can read, you can go there, click that, and then follow.
Which awesome, is a high ask, honestly. But I do want to say before we go out that your content is so much larger, you know, in your body of interest than what we covered here on this podcast. I'm a big fan of the videos that you put out, especially I think Instagram really does justice for giving you like a bunch of appetizers out of all the things that you kind of dabble in. So I look forward to seeing whatever you're doing, and I hope the audience goes and checks you out. But guys, don't forget to go to toplobster.com, grab those sticker packs that just dropped. Don't forget to go to, if you guys are listening to this, I don't have to tell you, but anybody who's getting this a week from now, if you want to be able to catch episodes like this early before they air to the general public, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/NephilimDeathSquad, sign up for the $5 tier, get access to our Telegram, come and hang out with the community as it develops in real time, and also go to NephilimDeathSquad.com. And you'll get all the same perks, but you don't have to support a platform that maybe you don't want to. And if we ever get canceled, we'll still be there on our own website. So you can hang with us there. Top, anything else?
That's it, man. You nailed it, guys. Thank you. Thanks for coming on, JT. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. It was a blast, guys. Getting blast. Awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. See you later.
The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real. If you can persuade him that what they see with their eyes is what there is to see, you got them. Because they'll lack in the face of an explanation that portrays the bigger picture of what's happening. And they have.